Hello, I'm sitting here with Deborah Clark, who is the Managing Director of Community Solutions. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
And I would like to talk to you today about your business, but first of all, let's get a little bit of info about you. Where you were born, about your siblings, where you grew up, schooling, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm a Heinburn girl, born in Accrington, born in roughly nursing home at the time, which is no longer there. My parents, my mum was from Accrington and my dad was from the North East, so my dad's a Geordie, and they got married and settled here. I'm 43 and I have a family. I'm married to Craig. We've just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this week.
Well, congratulations.
So it's been quite a big event, and we have three children, Gabrielle, Katie and Millie, all teenage girls, all growing up. And I grew up in Accrington, like I said, in the sort of South Accrington, Baxenden area. I was one of three. I was the baby girl that was a little bit of a surprise. My mum and dad had two boys. My brothers were 10 and 13 years older than me. So I think I was a little bit of a shock, but a pleasant shock apparently, because my mum always wanted a girl. And we all grew up within, you know, kind of schooling in Accrington. I went to Woodnook Primary, Peel Park Primary, and I went to Hollins High School in the town and followed on later on to college and everything.
And what sort of a student were you?
I was quite a reasonable student, quite conscientious, did relatively well at school, but then was very much more intent on going and getting married than carrying on with further education. So I got married at 18. Mm-hmm. And was working, and I didn't go back to further education until I was in my late 20s when I went and did my A-levels and became very passionate about education. So I did my degree in my early 30s. It was a health and applied social science degree, and it was something that I thoroughly enjoyed doing, even though I was bringing up three small children at the time, and really enjoyed learning, and it's something that's been really able to support me in the work that I do now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what did you get a degree in? What was the actual degree?
Health and Applied Social Sciences.
Oh, right. That's very good. Yeah. So that takes us to, as you say, you're married at 18. So how did you meet your husband?
I met him through mutual friends. We were involved in local youth groups in the Baxenden area, and I was at school at the time. Husband is 5 years older than me, and we met through mutual friends. Yeah, 1988 we met, so 29 years later, we're still sat here.
And I suppose married at 18 seems quite young these days, but my wife was 18 when we got married. Mm. And the beauty of it is that you grow up with your kids, don't you? You actually grow up with your children. You don't, you know, when these people get babies at 50 years old, and by the time the kids are 18, they're 68, you know, so it's a lot better in that respect. But obviously a lot of people like to play the field first, don't they, before they actually settle down, so that's fine. So where did you get married in Accrington?
We got married at Christ Church, with the Reverend Kevin Logan, who is quite famous in the town, and Craig and his family were part of Christ Church, so that's why we got married there. They attended the church there.
You're right, yeah. And do you have a really good honeymoon? Did you go somewhere special?
We went to Lanzarote, which was a last-minute booking. We had quite a number of weddings at the time to attend. Our friends were getting married, so we only went for a week. But, yeah, no, it was lovely. And we moved into our house in Oswestwistle, which, you know, I'd always lived in Accrington, so I have become, I don't know what you call, whether it's a gobbiner, but I live in...
Oswestwistle's gobbiner, isn't it? Yeah. Above the lamp. I lived in Spring Hill Road.
Right.
And I could walk to Oswestwistle in 5 minutes over where the paddock is, paddock nurseries. That's the border, yeah. So, you get married and then you start a family. But in between that, I'm assuming you had a job and you were active at that time as well.
I worked as a legal secretary for a while, and then I started to work for a local charity and began my journey to really get involved in communities. I'd always worked with people. I worked in a youth group as a volunteer when I was 16. Mm. So I'd always worked with young people, children, and been part of the community. particularly from a faith-based point of view. I'd always been part of church. I'd always had activities that I did. So it was quite natural when I started to get into my early 20s to feel that I wanted to, you know, be part of the community work. So I started working in community development.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me to managing volunteers, working with women who were quite vulnerable, and starting to work with families, children and young people, in various roles, really. While I had my family, I still did a lot of volunteering, whether it was, you know, 5 or 10 hours a week, up to, you know, maybe 25 hours, and juggled my family in between nursery.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always really active working, and obviously a really big believer in volunteering and the value of volunteering.
I think you said you were one of 3 kids, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you were sort of the last one. And the youngest. So did everybody else spoil you?
My brothers, my elder brother Stephen, left home when I was about 7. He went to get married. He got married quite young. I think he was only 20. And my other brother David was very much left to babysit me. So he'd often, you know, kind of had to go to ballet lessons, look after me, you know, and that kind of thing. And he was more, you know, the probably the brother that I spent the most time with, although he went off to university and
So you were a dancer, were you?
I was a baby elephant, according to my brother. Oh. So it didn't last very long. It was just a couple of, I think I did a couple of exams, but no, not really a dancer at all.
Well, you've picked some music, so shall we listen to the first one that you've chosen, which is Danny and Lizzie Dancing in the Sky? And after we've listened to it, I'll ask you a little bit about why you chose it. Okay, so that's it. Danny and Lizzie Dancing in the Sky.
Tell me, what does it look like in heaven? Is it peaceful? Is it free like they say? Does the sun shine bright forever? Have your fears and your pain gone away? Cause here on earth it feels like everything good is missing since you left. And here on earth everything's different. There's an emptiness. Oh, I hope you're dancing in the sky. And I hope you're singing in the angels' choir. And I hope the angels know what they have. I've made it so nice. Do up in heaven, are your days filled with love and light? Is there music? Is there art and adventure? Tell me, are you happy? Are you more alive? Your
That was Danny and Lizzie, Dancing in the Sky. Can you tell me a little bit why when you chose that actual piece of music? Is it something that has a sentimental connection, or is it just something you like?
It's something that has a sentimental value. It was a song that we picked to celebrate the life of my brother. I was calling my baby brother, but it was my brother who was 10 years older, passed away 2 years ago. And it was the music that we picked to do a video and photo promotion. So, yeah, it's quite sentimental, really, to me for that reason.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible, losing your brother. And was he ill longer?
No. He was 52, very fit, very healthy, and ran every day. Was into his athletics. It very, very well, and he'd started to experience, he'd had, you know, an infection, you know, kind of a flu type infection for a couple of weeks, and he just had a headache, which the doctor had said, you know, it's a sinus infection, you know, or some kind of virus, and you'll pick up, it'll be fine. And one day he just collapsed. We got a phone call to say that he was in hospital. He'd collapsed that afternoon, and as he lived in Somerset, it was a kind of a, what do we go down, you know, do we wait? So we went down, and on the way down we were told that he wouldn't make it, and that they wanted to turn his life support machine off. So he actually passed away 21st of June 2015, and had a brain infection of some description.
I'm so sorry to hear that. And I'm assuming that sort of painted your life and what you did next as well. And maybe did that lead to you forming this Community Solutions? I mean, I don't know. You tell me how you came into this in the first place. I mean, I know you were interested in volunteering and social care. So you explain in your own
words. Yeah, I mean, I've always been passionate about people and helping people, and always had that real desire to make a difference in a way that wasn't tokenistic. So we set Community Solutions up in 2010 with a real kind of heart for people. So we started to develop our befriending and mentoring services and supporting people at home and really trying to help people with loneliness and social isolation and the health situations that happen, you know, as a result of being lonely. So I was already very passionate. And for me, the year that I lost my brother, I also lost my auntie very suddenly. And my father-in-law passed away 8 days after Dave, my brother. And I started to realise that, you know, there was so much practical stuff that we had to do as a family to combat, you know, organising a funeral, things that, you know, you don't think about when you're looking at somebody's life who has gone unexpected. So I started to think about individuals that we were supporting here at Community Solutions and realising that what do you do when those life transitions happen and you don't have anybody and you don't have any close family. So out of the situation and the difficult situations that I've been through in the last 2 years, we formed a support group and a support service called Transition Solutions, which helps people practically and emotionally transfer through life transitions in a way that's positive, and would be a fantastic memorial to my brother Dave, because he was ultra positive and never wanted to know anything that was negative, was a really big committed supporter of Community Solutions and very proud of what we did, and would have been somebody that would have really approved of us helping other people in the situations that we've been through in the last couple of years.
I see. So you're already involved in Community Solutions while your brother was alive. It was just that you died while you were doing this job, basically.
Yeah.
And that made you even more determined to do something in his honour, which is obviously a wonderful thing, you know, something that you can be remembered by. And when you talk about this Community Transitions, is it you said, something like
Transition
that?
Solutions.
Yeah. How would people get in touch with you if you wanted to know more about that? Would they have to ring you here, or would they just come and see you in this place or what? I mean,
we've got a website, which is www.csnw.co.uk with all our services, and we support families, older people, people that have, you know, got health issues, individuals that have got you know, quite complex backgrounds as well. So people can access us through the website. We have social media, so we're on Facebook and Twitter. And here at Elmfield Hall in the centre of Accrington, we're open every day of the week, and people can call in to find out more. We are actively recruiting for volunteers, for people that might have had their own life experience that then want to then support other people. I think what the last 2 years has taught me is that, you know, you can't substitute experience, and I think the experience that I've had in having to juggle, you know, a family, a business with, you know, a number of deaths, and my father in the process was diagnosed with dementia, subsequently had a stroke, and my mum has recently had breast cancer and a mastectomy operation, amongst lots of other things I could share, have made me realise that, you know, if people go through this without individuals to support them, you know, we as a community need to step up and support. Yeah. I've been very fortunate. I've got a wonderful husband and family. But I do wonder, when people are alone, how they process through that grief and that loss and some difficult decisions that people have to make when they have health issues.
So you'd probably say that your mission at this place especially is to make sure that people don't have to go through things on their own, that there's support for them every time they go through something really traumatic.
Yeah.
Which is very laudable, and I hope that you succeed in that. But we'll carry on with a little bit more music now, and then we'll get back to talking about what your business is and anything else you want to talk about. And I'm very familiar with this next piece of music. It's Beatles and Yesterday. So we'll play that now. Quite interesting, though, just a fact. The Beatles never actually had a hit with Yesterday. It was on an album, and everybody else seemed to have a hit with it, like Matt Monro, and probably Shirley Bassey, and lots of other people had hits with it, but never the Beatles themselves, which is quite strange, because it was one of the best songs, I think. Mm. But you can tell me a bit more why you chose that track after you've listened to the Beatles and Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I love love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
All right, that was the Beatles and Yesterday. And what's your special reason for picking that track?
I like it, obviously, that's why I picked it, but I used to play in school orchestra, and I was a flautist, believe it or not, And I used to get a lot of pleasure out of our band practice and our performances at Hollins. And I always remember my music teacher, Pat Morley, who I think is still kicking around in Hampden somewhere, who was just very, very passionate about music. And we'd play all different types of, you know, songs, even to the point of things that probably weren't played in other bands, school orchestras, and I just remember very vividly killing this song quite a lot in our band practice. So, yeah.
So were you classically trained flautist? Did you get to that level?
I played it for about 15 years, so I have played in different, certainly the school stuff was very kind of classic, and obviously, you know, through the school we were trained, but I went on to play into church music, so it's more kind of contemporary church music that I played probably till I was probably in my late 20s.
I think you played some of James Galway's pieces.
Oh, yes,
you?
I did.
I mean, you had to.
James Galway, yeah, a lot of scales and, Yeah.
Right, well, go back to Community Solutions now. You can tell me a little bit more about what your messages and what you want to get over to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, as an organisation, we were based in Gatty Park in Church Accrington. We were able to acquire the building as an asset transfer to be used for the community, so it's open every day. We're able to house lots of social groups, you know, men's groups, ladies' groups, knit and natter, art history groups, craft groups. We are developing some of our groups to reflect our transitions work, so there will be a befriending group, an older people social group, and lots of activities that go on here. We do have a cafe that's open to the general public during the week. People can come in and have lunch and coffee and meet people and access some of the groups, and everything that we sell in the cafe goes back into our transition solution service, so it's a real benefit to people in the area. We do have a lot of volunteers, but we can never have enough volunteers in the work that we do, and we do a lot of training, which is all free training for people to access. One of the things that we do struggle with it is being able to meet the demand for our services. So our home visiting services, where we visit people at home, telephone service, and groups, where we're trying to really brighten somebody's day up, help them with their health issues, make them feel more positive, try to make them feel like they can contribute to their own community. And we get referrals from over 190 referral agencies that have met people that do need the services, and that's something that we, you know, we need to continually recruit volunteers to support.
So just to clarify, apart from the things that you do here, you have sort of an outreach program as well, which must stretch your resources, even though you say you have a lot of volunteers, and you say a lot of people need these services, so you need more volunteers basically, don't you, I suppose?
And
I know your courses are quite well received, because I'm a Lancashire County Council volunteer, and I was just offered one of your courses the other week, because you do work in conjunction with Lancashire County Council, don't you, to an extent. Do you actually charge them for the courses? Do they pay
you? No.
We do that as a sort of a community a service, really.
Yeah, we work in partnership with a lot of the organisations, and we've got some good partnership links with individual organisations, because, you know, we can't do everything, and we like, you know, it's about working together with other organisations. So it's about pooling resources as well, as times are difficult. So, yeah, we offer the training. It's free to anybody over 19 living in Lancashire can access the training. And it is something that we deliver on behalf of Lancs Adult Learning. Mm. So it's something we work in partnership with.
And when you do the home visits, do you usually try to make it that a lady goes to see a lady and a gentleman goes to see a gentleman?
We have done. That's been our kind of standard rule for a lot of years, although in the last 12 months we do recognise that that's not always what people want. Sometimes, you know, they request, you know, that it is, you know, somebody of a different sex, which is fine. And we've started to develop the service, particularly in Hindburn and Burnley. We do cover the whole of East Lancashire, but we're very passionate about where we live, which is Hindburn. But we do have a lot of requests from other areas that sometimes we have to say no to if we haven't got enough volunteers. And it's about people giving of their own experience. So we have volunteers that, you know, are really great practically, so they can go and paint somebody's house, they can go and take somebody shopping, you know, they can help them write, complete an application form. There's other volunteers that are very good with emotional support, you know, so they might be counsellors, they might be people who have been in that situation and can empathise and sympathise. And for us, it's about people that want to help in whichever way is part of their skill set. So we don't tend to pigeonhole volunteers into a certain role. We let volunteers create their role according to what their skills are.
That's very good, because that way they find their own niche, don't they?
They do.
And they're a lot better, a lot more effective if they're doing something they want to be doing. As far as Accrington's concerned, I've lived here all my life as well. And you must have noticed in the last 20 years how the town has changed. Mm. Now, I think organisations like this and the new trampoline park we've got, and obviously also Twistle Mills, are really a jewel in the crown of this town, because it seemed to be dying on its feet a little bit. Mm. And I'm hoping that, you know, these things will regenerate the town, because I think it's the same with a lot of small towns, though, isn't it? Everybody's buying stuff online, the shops are shutting all over the place. I remember when we used to have a Currys and a Dixon's in Accrington, you know, and that's not that long ago.
No.
You know, so it's a shame, really, isn't it? But I think we must love this town. We wouldn't have stayed here all this long, would we, you know?
Yeah, people are resilient, though, aren't they? And I think it's just giving people an opportunity to engage with what their sweet spot is in life, you know? You know, there's a lot of people we meet have had disappointments, have had situations happen, and they forget how good they are at things. And one of the things we're very passionate about is just facilitating people to do what their innate talent is. And if we do that and they use that to benefit other people, we get our job done at the same time. So we tend to see our volunteers as well as our participants as what we, you know, who we want to support, really.
And the same thing with the volunteers, is just have a look at your website if we want to get in touch with you.
Yeah, there's a form on the website. They can complete just an inquiry form. They can attend training with a view to then deciding whether to volunteer with us. They can give us a ring, they can call in. We are quite active on Facebook and Twitter, so a lot of our updates and our photographs and what's going on during the week gets, you know, sort of shared with everybody, so people can feel part of what we do. And what we're very passionate about is people coming with their own suggestions. Most of the ideas in Community Solutions have come from our volunteers and our passionate staff that just wake up one day and have got a great idea that I think, well, I wouldn't have had that idea, so all I need to do is give them permission to get on and do it. So it makes my job a lot easier.
Excellent. Right, well, we'll have another music break now. And the next song you've chosen is one by Hillsong called Wonder. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to Wonder by Hillsong.
Have you ever seen the world? In the year of second life? Have you come out of the water? With the only left behind?
Right, that was Hillsong with Wonder. I'm not actually familiar with that song. Can you tell me a little bit about it and why you chose it?
I do tend to really enjoy the Hillsong music, which is contemporary church music that originates in Australia. And I think that kind of takes me back to the theme of probably all my life has probably been lived out in church. My dad was at one time a minister, so I grew up with going to church and became a teenager, as you do, and started to sort of question, you know, do you go to church? Do you not go to church? Is it cool to go to church? And really found my own faith in my teenage years, and that's something that I've been able to share with my husband, and we've got that in common. And I think my faith particularly lived out very much in trying to be good with individuals, to do sort of random acts of kindness, which are to anybody, irrespective of whether they've got faith or not, is something that's quite important. So the song really talks about faith and about that sort of, you know, relationship with God that's quite important to me. So it's quite a personal journey, really, and something that I find, especially over the last 2 years, I don't think I would have successfully emotionally got through the traumas that we've been through as a family had I not had a very strong faith. That even in the midst of difficulty, I was able to lean on and get that emotional support from.
Oh, thank you for that. So there's quite a lot of spirituality about that choice then. Later on I'll ask you about what Deborah Clark does to relax, but first of all I want you...
That's a bit of a joke, I think.
Oh yeah, well,
does Deborah Clark relax? Deborah Clark never relaxes.
What Deborah Clark does to try to relax then, or, well, we'll come to that in a minute, but first of all I'd like to let you say a little bit more about community solutions and cover some points that you want to cover now that you haven't already mentioned?
I think one of the things that I'm most proud of at Community Solutions is that we have an open door policy, so people don't have to be referred to us, they can come at any time. And we're not the type of organisation that just wants somebody to complete a form, tick a box and process through a system. We are very relational. So our volunteers are very integral. You know, they make a lot of decisions, they're part of what we do, and they give the time for free, which is absolutely amazing. And the best thing you can ever give anybody is your time. And the characters we've got in the organisation are quite interesting. So we accept people from all different walks of life, backgrounds, opinions, people who are maybe have never volunteered before or never worked before, come to us for experience, and they're able to go on and get jobs. We do a lot of job coaching, interview skills, building people's confidence so that they find out what they're good at, and then we try to encourage them into a job and an income stream that they can actually, you know, progress in life. One of the things that we do as Community Solutions is we focus on somebody's health, whether that's physical, emotional, spiritual health, whether it is their social world, how can we connect people with other people in their community or world, on their personal development, so how they think, what their motivation is, and also their economic standing. How can we get people active every day and getting them to lead lives that are manageable in this current economic climate? So we feel that if we work on those sort of four overarching themes, that we do see people that have some great outcomes. They feel better about themselves, their health improves, and we want to continue doing that over the long term as an organisation based in Hyndburn. And the thing that we want to do is continually open the door for people to come in, to have the support, but also come in and enjoy working with us as a team. We're quite a fun team. We like to do enjoyable things. We've got a great sense of humour. It's a great place to thrive as a person. So, you know, if individuals want to join our team and are crazy enough to do that, you know, we do have an open door policy for, you know, for people to come and access what we do.
I think what strikes me there is what you said about your volunteers. You sort of give them a script and let them get on with it then. You know, they impose their own sort of personality on their particular role. And I think that's probably why it works as well.
I always talk about the elephant analogy. So I colour an elephant, which is the broad theme of what we're trying to achieve. So in terms of transition solutions, it is support people through life transitions. That's the outline of the elephant. How that elephant's coloured in, whether it's checked, striped, you know, pink, red, green, amber, whatever, it's the flavour of what's needed, and it's the flavour of the person that's helping. So we colour a lot of elephants in at Community Solutions. Oh,
very interesting analogy, that. So that's actually probably one of the reasons you succeed, I think, because people want to come and work here, don't they? They want to come and help you. And that's brilliant. So the final word is that the website is available for anybody who wants to get in touch with you. So we'll now go to another piece of music, which I do know, Snow Patrol and Chasing Cars. I actually love this piece of music myself, and my wife used to love it. So we'll listen to this now, and then you can tell me a little bit more about that, and we'll find out what Deborah does to relax.
We'll do it all, everything on our own. We don't need anything or if I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know I said too much. They're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. Let's waste time chasing cars around our heads. I need your grace to remind me to find my own. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life.
Right, well, we're back again with Deborah Clark of Community Solutions, and you just chose Snow Patrol singing Chasing Cars. Now, as I say, I love this piece of music myself, but tell me a little bit more about why you chose it.
It's just a fun track. It's just one that I play in the car. I'm a really bad driver, so sometimes it just makes the journey a little bit better. No, I just really just enjoy the tune. It's just something really catchy, and yeah, that's that. It's the only reason I picked it, really.
Right, now we're going to talk about this elusive animal called relaxation, mm-hmm. and when you do it, how you do it. And I'm assuming that you're actually celebrating your silver wedding, and this is your last day of work before you go on holiday.
Yeah.
So you can start with that. Where are you going on holiday, and how long are you going for?
I'm going for a week. I'm going to Gran Canaria without the children, which is always a bonus. Because we run Community Solutions together as a couple, it's something that if we are in England, we will get interrupted and call back into work, which usually happens. So relaxation isn't very much part of my nature. However, I do enjoy walking. I have a dog who I love more than I love anybody or anything. She is a Pattervale Terrier, so I will walk in the fields where we live, and I do enjoy getting out in the countryside. I go to the gym quite a lot. I always say I go for my mental health rather than the physical exercise. Great believer that exercise is really good for your mental health, gets rid of stress, you know, is very good for relaxing. So, you know, if I'm ever a little bit sort of stressed, my family do insist that I go to the gym, and I do come back a happier, more relaxed person. I do like to read. I think you've always got a friend if you've got a book. So when I do read, I thoroughly absorb myself into a story, not a telly addict. The only TV I watch is so I can communicate with my children. If we sit down and watch something, it's probably the only time we sit down. My husband has the TV on all the time, but TV to me is not the focal point. But if I have a book, and I can read, whether it's a mystery, crime thriller, or it's, something historic, or it's something,
So do you have a favourite author, favourite genre?
I read all sorts. I've had periods of my life where I've kind of gone through, Harlan Coben, James Patterson phase, and that kind of thing, where I've kind of read everything when I was into crime thrillers. I have a Christian author called Francine Rivers, who is a novelist. Very much don't know how she pieces the stories together, but they always seem to be relevant to my life when I read them, and I always get something motivational or inspiring from them. So I've read everything she's written. Big believer in motivational writing, so if I see something that is good to read that'll help me with what we do at Community Solutions, I'll read it. Currently reading a lot on grief, loss, bereavement, life transitions, so my reading on holiday might be a bit of a busman's holiday, love reading.
You mentioned Harlan Coben, which I can actually identify with. I love Harlan Coben's books, and he started writing young people's novels, didn't he, as well? So I read a couple of those. They're very good as well. But I mean, I'm more in the crime thriller genre.
Lee Child, I've been through Jack Reacher books. And,
oh my goodness, and the other, my favourite one is Michael Connelly and Hieronymus Bosch. And I've more or less read every one of his books. And I've just started reading a local author called Nick Oldham, who is on one of our podcasts, actually. He's a friend of mine. But he's written 27 books on D.C. Henry Christie, and I'm on his 20th now. And I can't put them down. They're absolutely riveting. They really are. So well done, Nick. So as far as films are concerned, have you got any favourite films?
I can't sit long enough to do anything like watch a film. I went to the cinema the other day, which was part of our silver wedding anniversary day, because we took the day off work, and we watched Lion, which was a really great film. Really enjoyed that. It was a true story about a young man that had ended up in Australia and adopted from India. So it was quite emotive how he went back and found his family and what had happened and stuff. So I tend to like the, much more of the story rather than, kind of horror films or chick flicks or anything like that. So I like something with a bit of a story, I think.
Do you go to pubs? Do you do quizzes? Do you karaoke and stuff like that?
I can't sing. I like singing. I really like singing, but it's not for me. No, I'm not a quiz person because I'm a bit too competitive, so I just don't join it.
But so, do you like watching The Chase and things like that?
No, I don't bother.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Deborah, for your time and your insight into this place, and you're doing a wonderful job here. And I'd like to thank you on behalf of Echo News for a really good interview. And we'll finish with your last song, which is Celine Dion and Ave Maria. But you were just saying that it doesn't matter who's singing it, you just love that song. So we'll just tell me a bit about this before we actually go into it, and then we'll wind up.
I think it's just that type of song where you think and you kind of contemplate life. And I think I'm, the situations where I've, heard the music and been somewhere where somebody's sang it, it always makes me feel at peace. And I remember it was something that was played and sang at my cousin's wedding. And my auntie at the time was absolutely adamant that she wanted me to play it on the flute, and I didn't end up doing it. And I always regret it because she's since passed away. But it's a very peaceful song, and it's just always great to hear a really good voice. I think anybody attempting to sing it must have to have a really good singing voice.
Well, thank you, Deborah. Happy anniversary once more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your interview, and I hope you have a good time in Gran Canaria.
Yeah,
and now we'll listen to Ave Maria.
Thank you.
We slow.